Hello and welcome to an episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Rethink Possible explores pockets of awesomeness taking place in school districts as told by school district leaders. I'm Bob McDowell, your host. Let's dig in. This morning, I have the pleasure of having Tim Schockemeyer, who is the superintendent of Central Public Schools out on the western side of the Twin Cities.
Thank you for having me. And I really want to talk about career technical education because it's something that is near and dear to me and near and dear to the communities that I serve at Central Schools, for sure.
One of the cool things about, I think, how we do this is giving people a perspective of, you know, it's not like you've been in Central Public Schools for 25 years, right? And so what I'm wondering is if you could start off a little bit just sharing how long you've been in Central Public Schools and how did this come to be that you're going, CTE is something we got to go after?
Yep. Yeah, no, that's great. So I am in my fifth year as a superintendent here. And for those of you that don't know, Central encompasses the cities of Norwood, Young America, Hamburg, and Cologne. We are in Carver County, but we are on the very western edge of Carver County. I'm nestled right between Waconia Public Schools and Glencoe Silver Lake Public Schools. Really small district. We have about, let's just call it 930 students. So it's the middle school that I was a principal at had more students than my entire district. And there's pluses and minuses to that. But, you know, I mean, as many of the superintendents that are inevitably listening to this know, I mean, when you start at a new place, you go and you meet a whole bunch of different, you know, people. You know, you meet the mayor, you meet the police chief and business leaders and things like that. And it became apparent very quickly that agricultural education, I would just say education that would promote blue collar work, you know, welding, electricians, construction workers. We have a wide variety of people, but that was definitely a theme of, hey, this is important to our communities, and our students also reinforced that because that's the classes that they were registering for most. I mean, our CTE classes are bursting at the seams every single registration period. So, I guess like that's how it became important to me, or the most important thing to me, I should say. And from there, we started. This was back in late or early 2019, 2020. We started a manufacturing trades advisory group, and it literally just started. Hey, it's me and eight businesses that I invited, and we sat around on Tuesday mornings at 7 o'clock with donuts and coffee and talked about why we thought careers in the trades were important, it blossomed into much more than that, and I think that's why we're talking today.
Yeah, and so as you were doing that, so it starts off as a grassroots type thing with mm-hmm. you and businesses. Mm-hmm. Like, at what point in time are you thinking as a superintendent of bringing your staff along or planning stuff out or starting to have conversations with them about this type of stuff?
Yep. So initially, because I knew it was this manufacturing trades group, I invited our CTE teachers, our high school principals there, and then eventually that expanded a little bit more to our curriculum person, our school counselor. But it isn't a large group. I mean, we have at most 20 people right now, and that includes my staff, because I feel like those staff members that are on this team to quote Jerry Maguire, they're their masters of quan, right? So they get to go and develop the ideas that come out of this group. And because of our size, I would say we're more like a skiff than the Titanic. Yeah. I mean, we can pivot and move a lot faster than some of the larger districts. And that is one of the benefits of being at Central.
Well, and it is, but one of the things I think you shared was there was some shock and awe that you as the superintendent were actually a part of the work.
Yeah.
So even though you're small, so what is that about?
Like, well, I mean, I, you know, they're, you know, I'm just going to say, like, there, I wear many hats. Yeah. I mean, it's yeah. Like, I am doing the work rather than delegating some of the work. And, mm-hmm. and, I just felt like if I was at the table, it just meant more. It meant yeah. that Central, along with these business partners, Central was more bought in to those business partners. So we just started throwing ideas against the wall to see if they would stick. So, like, I'm gonna go back to January. We're January 2020. We've been meeting since September, and they're like, hey, let's bring the businesses into the school and let's have like this career fair, mm-hmm. where at least we can introduce students to the businesses or what the opportunities are. So let me back up before that. There was a general belief and kind of a malaise, you know. I mean, there's unemployment is, 3.5% or whatever it is now. It's like these trade businesses, these businesses involved in the trades are having a hard time attracting workers. Mm-hmm. So I make no reservations as there is definitely a self-fulfilling interest for them to be connected to the school, because that is the pipeline to their workforce. And I don't have a problem with that, because these are great paying jobs in Carver County in Norwood Young America. I think it's great. So we invited our 6th through 12th grade students. We started that first year with 9 or 10. We just had it last week. It's grown to 34, because it's not just, hey, show up and do this. Like we work cross, departmentally, where each one of our high school students walks in with a resume to be able to share with the business partner. We prompt them with questions to ask, inquiry-based questions to ask the business partner. And it's developed. We have about 5 to 8 students per year that land jobs locally, and those have even expanded into scholarships or fully paid internships, where they're working, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning after they graduate school here, going to trade school, wherever that may be, and the business is paying for it. And I just think that is a fantastic opportunity for our students, for sure.
And you talked about, as part of an opportunity, this thing that you're calling a trades signing day.
Yeah.
What is that about?
So, the first step is we had this thing, and then the kids get connected, they get some money. And I mean, just like an athletic scholarship. So I believe, and this is just my bias, I guess. I believe as a society, we elevate when kids do well on the sports field and they get scholarships to go to wherever, they're going to the U of M to play baseball and whatnot. And we have this big to-do. Well, these same students are essentially getting, this trades group, they're getting full ride scholarships, just not to the U of M. They might be going to Hennepin Tech or Ridgewater and Hutch or, wherever. I mean, wherever they're going to go. And we felt as a system and as a business group that this was that important to elevate them to that level of importance. And so, in the spring, we invite the students that are getting this to our awards night. And we have the whole Central Schools backdrop. We post it online, the business partner, shaking the hand of the student with the parent. And we've had really good feedback about that. And I would honestly recommend to anyone to utilize social media and to elevate the students in your own school and just make it that important. And that has springboarded into even larger swaths of students registering for CTE classes at our high school, which is good.
Are you seeing, with those kids that are registering, are you seeing kids register for those classes that would be typically not trades students now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And getting more out of just trade focus and into...
Yeah. I think we're a little bit unique where just because of our size and our catalog. I mean, we don't have a 20-page catalog like we did in my previous district. I mean, we are limited to a little bit, but I would say it is not uncommon, and I'm just gonna use an analogy here. It's not uncommon for the kid that's the homecoming queen, who's also the starting volleyball player, who plays basketball, to be registered for a trades class mm-hmm. and is taking an internship in town with whatever we do. Like that is a very common thing at Central, for sure.
So while that's a common thing, you've also worked in much larger school districts prior mm-hmm. to this mm-hmm. one. So as you think about that, what are things that superintendents or directors of teaching and learning or CTE-focused mm-hmm. individuals should mm-hmm. be thinking about if you were going to scale this up, right?
Yep.
Double your size, triple your size. Are there mm-hmm. things that you have as takeaways for that?
Yeah. So I'm going to focus on two things that we've also implemented as this started from really small to big. So,
yeah.
So I'm going to start with the first thing. So we, as some of this work has been growing, we partnered with the city of Norwood Young America, and we hosted a manufacturing trades day in Norwood. And that was in conjunction with the, Carver County Workforce Center to bring awareness to students. So, I mean, this isn't rocket science. We give the kids a half a day off. We cart them around town in a bus. We give them lunch at the pavilion downtown but they're going in and they're seeing all these businesses in action. And we generally have 75 to 80 students that attend this yearly. And, we have our, like this last time we had several state senators and county commissioners and local government just talking about what the future growth is of manufacturing in Carver County. Because I would say, generally speaking, our students would like, when we do an exit interview with them when they graduate, a lot of them want to stay in Carver County. So what are the opportunities here? So we're making that connection for them. So I think that was the first step of just awareness. And we would target, to be very frank, we would target girls because it is definitely male centric. So we are at the point right now where we have 50% boys, 50% girls coming to this event. This last time that we had this event, we had some of our success stories, like I was talking about those 5 to 8 students that have landed some internships. Mm-hmm. They came up and kind of talked about their experience with all, just kind of a panel type thing with all of the kids out there. And two of them were females. And that was that, like, that's good. I think now that has just become part of our system. So it just feels good. I think the second thing that I would say, and this happened in my previous district, there was some good certificate-based programs there, but they kept running into the same issue that I think many of you are, and that is, and our businesses were too, that until you turn 18, basically all they can do is push around a broom. I mean, there are a lot of child labor laws that are involved, but I think we are doing something really unique here. For all the superintendents or directors that are listening, I'm definitely somebody that lives in the gray. So I understand that what I'm going to say next may make some people uncomfortable, but full disclosure, I have run it by MDE, so I know I'm good.
Awesome.
So we basically worked with our business partners and identified workers in their place of work that met the requirements to hold a tier one license in the state of Minnesota.
Oh, great idea.
Because a classroom environment, you can do, I mean, I can have this one student, running plywood through a bandsaw, but as soon as they go to this other place, they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue the equipment at that place of business is safer and all that stuff. So I worked to get people licensed, business workers licensed. I leased back the space from the business for a buck, for on the machines that they're going to use. And now the student is at this place of work. They're earning credit, credit through us. They're with a licensed teacher. And this business is getting first look and first opportunity to see what some of these kids can do. And that's good. And the student gets a real life experience from a licensed teacher. The school can use the classroom hours for elective credit. The business gets to train and make the individual pitch for, to why them to the student. Our city has a flow of workers to good paying jobs in our town. Our students get scholarships, and the district, and here's the big one for me, all that is great. And because of my size, I cannot afford state-of-the-art equipment on a two-year turnaround basis. Mm-hmm. Like I just literally can't do it, but that business has to stay relevant in their space.
Right.
And I just feel like it's a really good win for us and our kids, for sure.
Well, that is awesome, right? And this whole idea of how do we rethink possible, and really kind of the idea behind these podcasts, that's a perfect example, I think, for someone who's out there right now of how might you rethink possible in getting kids out into the community and doing it in such a way that MDE is okay with you doing it as well, and making more connections. Because I have to believe that just by doing that, you've increased the contact points for kids and businesses exponentially with the school district, right?
Yeah. No, it agreed. And it was really the businesses were the ones pushing for it. And from my perspective, you know, I don't think any accidents are going to happen. But because I'm leasing that space, my insurance covers the students there and the teacher. If there's a will, there's a way. If you have If you can replicate something like this in your own town, I just think you would have buy-in from your students for sure. And so that has all kind of been happening. And then, and you had talked about bringing staff along, Bob, and I think that's definitely an important aspect. And in 2021, we passed a bond here. About a $50 million bond to renovate all of our elementary schools and both our elementary school and our secondary school. And we were working with an architect, his name's Chris Gibbs. He is just a tremendously brilliant guy. And I really wanted to have a different experience for students and teachers, you know, along this same line, because what I just described is mainly accessible to our sophomores, juniors, and seniors. But what kind of opportunities along that lines that help develops our CTE program can we develop at the elementary school and middle school? And what I heard from our business partners is they need thinkers, they need problem solvers, people that are adept to change, because they don't know what is going to, you know, what they're going to be producing, you know, 10 years from now. And so we'd actually designed our building around that. And knowing that we were going to move into this space that was more inquiry based and hands-on, we have two state-of-the-art STEAM labs, one at our elementary school and one at our secondary school. And, I went and visited a bunch of different places, and I'm not going to name them all, but there are some really cool things happening. And one thing I heard from staff is they weren't equipped to necessarily change their pedagogy with the change of a different space, a more innovative space in their building. So right after we passed the bond, I started working. I brought in this little two-person professional development group. It's Incubate to Innovate. I am going to for sure give Angela and Amanda a plug here. Like, these are two of the most brilliant educators that I have ever worked with. I mean, they are great. And so we have started training everyone in developing a problem rather than being the teacher that just has all the solutions. Like, you know, be a facilitator of inquiry in your classroom, and it doesn't matter what classroom. So we've brought all of our staff through that now, and now we're at the point where they're redesigning units individually, and everything from health class to science class to third grade. And I think that has been a tremendously positive experience for our staff. Along that lines also, we brought a third of our staff down to the International Society for Technology and Education. That's ISTE. Again, they're an inquiry-based organization, and I feel like I have critical mass of staff on board now to work with this change. And ultimately, you know, the creme de la creme is this experience that our sophomores, juniors, and seniors can get at the end.
So one of the questions I get from a lot of people is around this great idea, love it. And we hit PD and people are like, I don't know how to pull it off. I don't know when to do it. I don't, my teachers say we don't have enough time in the calendar. Do you have anything that you can share around the what, how, and when you did this PD with your staff?
I do want to give a shout out to our local teachers group. Like, I have a really good relationship with our teachers union.
Sure.
And I realize that can be different in different spots, but we did the ISTE thing in the summer and so that was good. But we, you know, I want to say, come on, Supes. If it's important, it gets done.
Yeah.
I realize we all have a lot on our plate, but I prioritize this in our, I don't want to say we prioritize this because I had teacher leaders along with this and they said, this is important. This is what we're going to spend 2 years on doing. And I feel like it's my job then and my principal's job to like play goalie and like deflect everything, all these other things that could come on top. And I realize my timing might be bad here because of the READ Act and all of those things that are happening currently, but if it's important, it gets done. And I think that would be my advice, is just find the thing and then create the space for it and stick to your word.
Yeah. Do you have then, the other thing that comes up a lot is, mm-hmm. do you have like a system for benchmarking certain points along the way to kind of understand mm-hmm. whether things are going well or an opportunity for you to cycle off and retool something?
Yeah. So, it's internal, but we have a whole set of documents that are PLC leaders use and are in our, what we call here, our curriculum leaders use. Mm-hmm. So we've leveraged, we are a QCOMP district. So, we've leveraged that time because I can argue that this is all standards work as well. We have identified things that have left our system. I'm not going to get into it here, but you know, this is important. So we're going to start doing this and we're going to stop doing that. We have been really intentional about that as well. And so I just, you know, like I said, we're in this building project now. And, I think the crescendo, if you will, is going to be this May. We have all these business partnerships. We've worked with our design architect, who also started this business called Pobl Learning, and we are essentially starting a hopefully annual. It's going to be the first, so this could be awesome or it could be awesome. So I don't know how this is going to be in May. We're calling it Project Wonder. And basically it's going to be an E12 3-day thing at Central, where these businesses that we have nurtured and developed these relationships with over the last 5 years are going to come in for 3 half-days in the morning, and they are going to bring a problem that they are facing in their business right now, currently. And we have this whole protocol we're going to bring. They, as the business leader, with some teachers there to be the guide, to bring all of these groups, you know, small groups of students, 15 to 20 at the most, along this inquiry process to solve their problem. And I, you know, it's, I we'll see how it goes. I am really excited about it though. And I don't think we would have got there, without sending a couple of emails in the fall of 2019, to 8 businesses that I got off the Chamber of Commerce website in Norwood, America, to start this trades group and had a cup of coffee and a donut.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Is that something that that if people are interested in seeing, that they can come around and see?
Yeah, for sure. It's all you'd have to do is email me. And okay. So if you're, I'm not going to give my email address, but if you're listening to this, you probably can find out Bob's email for sure. But it's going to be May 21, 22, and 23 in the mornings. And if you're interested, just get a hold of me and I'll give you the details.
My last question for you is really, what's your biggest takeaway in working on this process with businesses and creating those partnerships for folks that are listening?
Don't assume that they don't want to work with you. I'm telling you right now, they want to work with you. Make it easy. Make it mutually beneficial. Start small. I mean, we literally started with a with a business fair of 9 people with folding tables in the gym. I mean, that's, I mean, and so I just don't assume that they're too busy.
Thank you so much, Superintendent Schachemeyer, for being on this podcast and sharing with everybody your ways you're rethinking possible in how to put together a CTE program that involves not just kids and your staff, but also a big part of involvement comes from your community.
Thank you, Mr. McDowell, and go Raiders.
Yeah, awesome. All right, this has been a podcast of Rethink Possible with Bob McDowell. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me through the CESO.com website, the CESO.com website, and you can get a hold of us there, or I'm sure you can find Superintendent Schachemeyer and the Central Public Schools website and speak to him directly as well. With that, we'll sign off and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CESO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators.